is Dr. Sharon Spano, and today I'm talking with Derek about radical abundance.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. We have a treat today. We have Dr. Sharon Spano with us. She is the author of a new book I'm holding in my hand. It's available now, The Pursuit of Time and Money, Stepping into Radical Abundance and Discover the Secret to a Meaningful, Prosperous Life. Dr. Sharon, welcome to the program today.
Thank you so much, Derek. I'm delighted to be here and I appreciate the opportunity.
Our listeners are on a quest, as am I, and many of us, to become better leaders, and that includes learning about our human potential in our personal and in our professional lives, which is hard to find balance often. First, I want to introduce a little bit about you. You have a PhD in human and organizational systems. You're an author of this amazing new book. You're a corporate business strategist, workforce expert, professional speaker, former radio host of Work Smart Live as well. You work with business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs to help them maximize performance, improve employee engagement, and increase bottom line results. That's huge. That's something we're all looking for. Tell me a little bit about, just a little bit about your background, and then bring us up to speed about where you are today. And then I want to get into this book because I'm really excited about our listeners getting a chance to read this.
Well, thank you so much, Derek. And yeah, the background is fairly extensive and goes back, you know, now probably over 35 years where I started out originally as an advocate for children and families because I had a son born with a rare metabolic disorder, as I think you know. And then that segued into the speaking profession. I was a certified speaking professional for many, many years and still do speak, but I don't travel quite as much as I used to back in the day. And that's by choice because my work has evolved into the integral coaching work and a lot more of the systemic constellation work in conjunction with consulting, which is a mouthful. But bottom line is, as you said, I work with business leaders and entrepreneurs, and often I find more and more they're coming to me because whether they're a big company, a CEO or a small business owner or entrepreneur, they're smack in the middle of some kind of a personal or professional dilemma, challenge, or maybe even a transition. And so the work that we're about here has really been exciting to be able to, you know, to offer it, even in all its complexity, to people who are facing, you know, some of those life and work challenges.
I'm reading part of your book, the summary. What if your beliefs about time and money are keeping you from living your biggest life? Are you tired of living the chase? And again, our listeners can relate to this. No matter how hard you work, there's never enough time to get it all done. No matter how much money you make, there's always a surprise demand that robs you of hard-earned dollars. Talk to me a little bit about early childhood. Talk to me how that relates to our everyday experiences and how that relates us with time and money.
Well, yeah, that's a great question as well, because my work, again, is grounded in adult development. And so what we know from the developmental world of research, which goes back, you know, way into the 70s, because we used to think that people only developed up to the age of 21. But we know now that that's not true and actually seems almost ridiculous when you think about how we're impacted by life experiences and sometimes even trauma. So what we know are there are 12 stages of adult development. And within those stages, there are 26 what we call lines of development. My work focuses on six of those, which are spiritual, moral, interpersonal, somatic, cognitive, and emotional. And so that's a lot to hold in place. But when you think about, you know, everything begins at our early childhood, that's where we develop our worldview. And the stages, if you will, really comprise all of our consciousness. It includes our personality and all the different ways that we make meaning in our world. And so when you go back, and I'm finding this to be quite interesting with my clients, and just get to the simple stories of, you know, what did you hear growing up about time and money? You'll almost always find that there is some correlation if they do, in fact, have scarcity paradigms, that they're linked both scarcity or parents abundance are linked to things that they heard as young children. And often now at a subconscious level, they're impacting the way they do business today based on those very same internal dialogues. So, for instance, I had a client a couple of weeks ago that I was working with. And I had seen and witnessed that he was really very, very much caught up in the chase, and it was impacting his bottom line. And so we did some constellation work, and sure enough, it came out that, you know, there was some stuff about a father that had pressured him quite young to be very successful. And not only was he pressured, but his father found himself in a precarious situation where he lost his business and, you know, was pretty much shamed in the community as the way that all went down. And so here this CEO was holding all of that and didn't realize that all of that early childhood experience of watching his father go through that was actually keeping him from growing his own business. And even more than that, he had kind of taken on the role of the father in his company, and he was sending a message to his employees that money didn't matter. So it was a very complex kind of paradoxical thing. But when we looked at it, you know, then we kind of broke the dam, and now he's revamping everything and you know, full speed ahead. So it's exciting work, you know, when you can help create space for someone to see that about themselves, because I believe that each and every one of us has some element of scarcity that you know, is within who we are and how we operate.
That's really fascinating. So the DNA based on early childhood and what we've been told is shaped. So really it's a matter you help unpack and discover what those underlying things are, and then help to have a mindset of abundance instead.
Exactly. Because, you know, Derek, you and I know we're both big fans of the 12-week year, for instance. I mean, and there's so many, you know, back in the 80s, I'm dating myself now, but, you know, Stephen Covey was sort of my model, and I taught that for years and years. And there are many, many wonderful resources out there on time and money management. And I believe in the importance of those things. But I also have seen in my career that no matter what the tactics are, if the person has faulty premises or meaning-making systems, and we know, again, from the developmental work that sometimes people are stuck in the early stages for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And so if we can't break through some of that, they can use a time management system. You know, I was one that every year I bought a new leather, you know, calendar, and I thought, well, this is going to be the one because this one's the right color, you know, and it, you know, that never seemed to work until I shifted my own perspectives. And I still struggle, you know, with these things as we get busier. And I think for entrepreneurs, it's a constant challenge because, you know, we're all wearing so many hats. So I'm just trying to start a conversation to get people to kind of develop greater witnessing capacity and greater awareness about what's working and not working for them. You can have a very robust life no matter what stage of development you're at. The point is to kind of see where you fall on that spectrum.
I like that. And you talk about unraveling underlying beliefs that result in self-sabotage and defeat. And those are things we don't even realize we're doing sometimes. I love the phrase radical abundance too. That's just, of course, we all want to step into that. It sounds amazing. What a great imagery. But tell us, what is actual radical abundance? What does it mean, and why is it important?
Well, I think it's important because, you know, one of the things that I'm often quoted saying is that radical abundance and prosperity, they're both, in my perspective and experience, a mindset. So in other words, they're a place to come from, not a place to get to. And we know that the universe, you know, all systems involved, and we can get into real complexity here, but, you know, like, you know, there's the law of attractions, like attracts like. So when I think of radical abundance, I'm really talking about having a meaningful life of joy and prosperity that is not in any way linked to your circumstances in your life. And that doesn't mean it's some airy-fairy magical thinking. That would be a very early stage approach to life. What it means is that there's a level of contentment in whatever I'm doing and where I am that is really kind of absent comparison to others, which is really a challenge today when we look at, you know, the vanity numbers that we're all chasing. Right. But it's grounded in passion and purpose and intentionality in such a way that, you know, I love what I'm doing. And even when I have days that are down for whatever reason, I still have this sense of abundance in my life. And the radical piece to me has to do with really examining where you put your time and money, because I believe that it indicates what you value most, you know, and particularly in terms of our relationships.
So are we getting our wires crossed sometimes? I mean, I've seen so many entrepreneurs and successful people that are also feeling like they're robbed of joy, or they're looking for satisfaction and meaning sometimes, and there seems to be a void. Well, is there a correlation between that type of personality?
Well, I think the culture today, you know, we're all feeling that pressure to do more and have more and do it quicker and faster. You know, that's part of the downside of the amazing things that we're enjoying with technology. And so when I talk about comparison, I know that's one that I battle because I want to do so much. But then I have to remember, and you and I've had this conversation, you know, I'm not a content marketer, for example. The work that I do is more of a deeper spiritual level, and I have to do content marketing to get my message out there. But then I'm constantly having to evaluate, you know, what are you doing and why? Because it's easy for me to get caught up in the chase as well. And I think that if the chase isn't grounded, and I know you run with a group of guys that are very grounded as content marketers in the passion and purpose for their work. But if it's not, as we see out there sometimes, you know, in the universe, I think that's where the void and the hole comes in. And eventually you wind up with a lot of toys, but you don't have that meaningful, you know, prosperous life in the deepest sense.
Mm. Great answer. Thanks for that. Tell me, what are some of the most interesting things you've learned in your research about the difference between scarcity and abundance?
Well, it's been interesting in that several years ago, I developed a time money inventory, and it's a reliable, valid assessment. It's fairly simple. It's on the website, available to anyone who orders the book. And we found that when we did that, it's all anonymous and confidential and everything. I was frankly surprised because the scarcity categories came up very clear, and I've identified some of those in the book. And just as an aside, the appendices for the book are also on the website for people to take a look at and see where they might fall, even if they don't take the assessment. So scarcity is fairly obvious. I think, you know, we wouldn't expect anything other than what we saw there, and the same with abundance. What was interesting, though, Derek, to your question, is that in the moderate range of scarcity and the moderate range of abundance is where I saw things really getting a little more interesting and even confusing for the individual. And by that, I mean moderate scarcity can look like moderate abundance. Hmm. And the reason is because people who stand in moderate scarcity are often, at least as we're seeing so far, they're doing all the right things from a very responsible stance, but they're making decisions that are based on fear or guilt. So the example I might give, and this is a real life example, is the dad, and I know you're a father, who works really, really hard to do all the right things and provide and save and prepare. But then somewhere in the middle of that is a lot of fear, to the point where a gentleman I knew here in Orlando, for example, was so focused on saving for the future, which seems like the reasonable thing to do, that he couldn't even take his family on, or chose not to, I should say, take his family on vacation or even his kids to Disney. And here it's right here in Orlando. So that's kind of an extreme case, but you'll see, and I'm seeing a lot of this with the baby boomers right now as they are segueing into the next phase of life, this fear of, you know, I can't do anything, I can't go to dinner, I can't go on vacation, even though they have money to do that, but they're afraid, well, what if I outlive my money? You know, and how do you ever know that? I mean, you don't know how long you're going to live. You can only do what you can do and enjoy the trip along the way to the best of your ability. So that to me was very interesting, to see responsibility really show up as some form of moderate scarcity.
Wow, that's really good. Tell me why is what we think about time and money, how does that correlate to what we value most in life?
Well, again, what am I investing in? So as we're building our businesses, I know I've done it. I was speaking at one point in 150 cities a year to make money. And here, you know, that meant that I was away from my son. And I wish I had those years back now, because my son passed away in 2008. At the time, it was what I needed to do. It was what my husband and I agreed upon. We thought it was the best thing for our family. And frankly, my son was in high school. I think he was glad to be rid of me. But you know, so I'm saying not to make anybody wrong or put them in a box, but to look at you know, what is it that you're doing and why? And another example I can give you is, you know, I was a kid whose parents got divorced and I was basically, you know, dropped off at my grandmother's house. And both parents sort of just disappeared. And so I didn't know any different as a kid. I was loved by my grandmother and I had a great life with her. And my dad came around periodically. I didn't see my mom for years and years. It wasn't until I wrote the book that I realized that there was this kid who somehow innately knew that her parents didn't have the time or the money to invest in her. And they never did. And so that created in me a worthiness issue that I fought well into my 30s, where I just felt, you know, I'm not enough, I don't deserve, I'm not smart enough, I'm not whatever. And it really wasn't until I met my husband, thank goodness, probably around, I was 23. You know, my husband is Mr. Poster Child for Abundance, and he's my greatest supporter. And it because of him that, you know, I really stepped into who I was, because he's always, always invested time and money in me. I mean, he literally will drop everything just to meet me for lunch if I, you know, if there's any possible way he can do it. He's done that many, many times where he'll just drop everything if I happen to call and say, meet me for lunch. And they're silly little moments, but they're so endearing to me, because I know somewhere at the core of who I am, he'd rather spend time with me than do anything else, if at all possible. And, you know, so it's those kind of nuances, I think, that we can miss. We talk a lot about time and money in the world, but we talk about it in very concrete ways. I'm talking about it in very subtle ways that are really more from later stage of development type of nuances that I'm just asking people, pay attention to it a little bit. See if there might be some slight change that you might make in the way you're interacting with the people you love.
I think it's really powerful, and thank you for being open and sharing part of your story. And I know that it goes much deeper, and we could talk all day about it. But, you know, something else that stands out to me is you're talking about your husband's support, and that what's the awareness we need to have about the role we play and how others perceive time and money? It seems like his investment to you has helped to give you a healthier balance as well. And I guess in the ecosystem, we need to be aware of how we're influencing others around us.
Well, it's so true, because I'll tell you, just, you know, as an aside, I could never have gotten a PhD without my husband. I mean, my husband, I was in a ball cap for a whole year while I was writing my dissertation. He does all the marketing and cooking, and, you know, that's, he loves doing that, and that's just kind of who he is. But he really stepped it up during my dissertation process. And I always have something really hard and intense that I'm working on, like the book launch now. And so, you know, he pays a price for my creativity. Let me just say that.
Well, you talked about the importance of the, you know, obviously being aware. You know, you're starting a conversation about being aware of time and money and its relationship and radical abundance and having a meaningful, prosperous life. And you need to understand the what and the why. Support from others is helpful, and investing into others is helpful, knowing how your outlook is affecting others. But what are there any other guidelines or any basic principles that our listeners today are going, yes, I get that. I want to be aware of it. And thank you for sharing that with me. But what, anything else that says, hey, I'm aware of it. Now what? I'm aware that I may need to work on this, or then how do I know if I have a good balance? And then what do I do if I'm out of balance?
Well, one of the things that I've done with this book is I've offered practices at the end of each chapter, reflective practices that will help the reader, based on the content of that chapter, dive a little deeper. And we talk about it in my field as witnessing, and the journaling that I'm recommending really allows you to kind of work through some things in written form, because that's where you kind of can get into, if you're doing stream of consciousness writing and just letting that pen flow, you're going to discover some things that will really surprise you. And we're offering a PDF of the reflective practices, kind of like a workbook, to help people, you know, use that, because I'm recommending read the book first. Don't worry about the practices, because some of them I'm asking you to do for a week at a time or whatever. Then go back and just do the practices and see what you discover. That's one way. The other thing that I talk about in the book, as you know, Derek, is the cycle of freedom. So there's work in the book around the premise of stewardship, which I think is really, that is to me the secret to radical abundance. And it goes to a lot of what we've been talking about. But we're looking at it through something called the AQUAL, AQAL framework, which is rooted in integral research, and it's very complex. I won't go into it, but I've made it in user-friendly language, very accessible to the reader. And so when you engage and look at the AQUIL, because I find that particularly people in sales or entrepreneurs within this quadrant, they will operate, for instance, from the upper right quadrant, which has to do with a lot of doing, 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 doing. And they'll neglect the upper left quadrant, which has to do with the reflective work that we actually deserve in order to tap into our greatest innovation and creativity and peace of mind and prosperity and all those wonderful things. The lower right has to do with our we space and the circles that we run in. And the lower right has to do with the systems and processes in place. So if we're always coming from upper right and we're just doing, 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 and we're not addressing the other three, we're missing out on a whole integrative opportunity, you know, for deeper holistic ways of being in our world. And what I'm suggesting is that in the cycle of freedom, then we examine, and I've given people a way to do that via the book, where I am in the context of stewardship so that I can experience more compassion, generosity, gratitude, and self-compassion for myself and others, and actually ultimately greater love for humanity. And the self-compassion to me is a very important piece, because I think we all have made mistakes in business, and particularly around time and money. I know I certainly have and continue to do it, you know, and I have to learn to just forgive myself and go, okay, what do you learn from that? And then how do you move forward from there? And that to me is a part of the freedom that is so important when you're an entrepreneur or in any type of business.
That's great. I want to encourage our listeners, those of you that listen to our show, you are on a quest like I am, a continual quest, and we're not always succeeding in it, but we're on a quest to be better leaders and to be better family members, better in our community. This book, some of the sections, the challenge of having the awareness of your thoughts and behaviors, the vision, the opportunity to step into your biggest life, that's powerful. And then the solutions, you talked about the shifting to a paradigm of radical abundance, living the cycle of freedom, loving from radical abundance. Sharon, this is an awesome book. Greg McKeown, he's the author of the New York Times bestseller, Essentialism. He says, time and money often seem like finite and limited resources. However, with the right resourcefulness, with the right mindset, our resources can become infinite. This is brilliantly illustrated in The Pursuit of Time and Money. That's quite an endorsement, too.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. I mean, that book really shifted me, and I promote it anywhere that I can because I think it's a must-read, you know, for where we are in today's world. Hmm.
Sharon, anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go today? And then I want to plug the book again. But what are you saying to the person that's a busy entrepreneur, a busy executive out there trying to balance family and life and dealing with some of the things that you ask at the back of your book? What do you say to them today as a next step?
I would just say trust that you have a message, service, or product that the world deserves to have. But it's kind of the old oxygen on the face first, that you really cannot give that highest piece of who you are and have the biggest life unless you really take the time, in my opinion anyway, to examine what it is that really matters to you in your life, and then use your most important, or at least two of your most vital resources that we make decisions on every single day over and over and over again, you know, to really reflect on how am I going about using those resources in the context of the biggest part of my life, meaning the people that I love and care about and the people that I serve in my business.
That's powerful. What kind of changes have you seen when people start to act and live in radical abundance instead of from a scarcity mindset?
I think it's the cycle of freedom that I'm talking about. Because, you know, we go to bed, I don't know if you do, Derek, but I know through a lot of my career, I would go to bed thinking about what I didn't get done. And that's a restless night, you know. And now I certainly have had those nights through the book launch. But now, for the most part in my business, you know, I work very hard and I work long hours and I choose that. I love my work. But I feel like I also play very hard and I know when to stop. And that to me is the freedom of knowing, you know, that today was enough and I was enough and I accomplished enough and tomorrow's another day and we get back at it.
That's powerful. So talk to us about the book. The book is available now in most bookstores, but it's also available at the timemoneybook.com, on your website, also sharonspano.com. Any other way that our listeners should reach out to you if they're interested in learning more?
Yes, and my website, SharonSpano.com, and as you said, it's linked to the book microsite as well, and they can also get it, of course, on Amazon.
Excellent. Sharon, thanks again for being our guest today. We've learned a lot from you, and our listeners know this, but I love to learn from people who have actually been there and done it and have lived it, and that's what you've done. And so this book is powerful, that, and we appreciate that you took the time to write from your experience, to do the research, to find these correlations. And our listeners and myself, we're gonna read this and help make each other better and act from radical abundance instead of from that scarcity mindset. Thank you again. Congratulations on this new book, and we look forward to following the amazing things that are happening next with you.
Thank you so much, Derek. I appreciate you and your team and the work that you do, and I just really appreciate also your having me on the show.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.